Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way. I'm over here at the Lighthouse on a Wednesday morning. It is a beautiful, sunshiny morning. Hoping this is going to be a turning point to cause us to have warmer weather as we come along. I'm so glad that you joined me this morning. You joined me, by the way, of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock. And we stream this broadcast live, by the way, of WDLP.fm. I'm so glad you joined me, by the way, of Ionia, WION, I-1430 AM, or 92.7 FM over in the lower area, 100.3 FM. I'm so glad that you joined me this morning. Others have joined me by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both Ionia and Greenville stations by the way of the web. And that's pretty special. It goes all over the world, folks. And that's something special for a fellow my age to be thinking that that message is going everywhere. And that's pretty special. Others have tuned me in, by the way, of earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. And some of you are listening, by the way, of my website. I like to repeat it each week. My website is PastorKenHarger.com. And then you go to Messages from the Lighthouse. Bring your mouse up over that, and it'll show you current media. If you click on current media, the top one is the message for this morning. So whatever way you join me, I'm just having just being glad that you're a part of my broadcast time together this morning. Hoping my voice would hold out once again. We got plans for getting an appointment to find out what's going on. That's getting so they're doing that again, so that's pretty good. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial broadcasts. And so a big thank you to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname. She's from Ordeans, and I appreciate her support so much. Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, thank you for your support. And Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belding area, thank you for your support. And Shiloh Community Church, where I pastored for 50 years, I appreciate the support that is coming from there. Once again, I need to mention another week. This has been a long time that our church building has sat empty, but we still have services by the way of Facebook. We have for the Shiloh campus, the service is at 10 o'clock. And then for the Greenville campus, the church service is at 11 o'clock. And at 11 o'clock over to Greenville, that is live, so you can kind of interact with it. And that's something that's kind of special. And so if you want to tune us in Sunday morning at either 10 or 11 or both times, we'd love to have you do so. And then K.N. King Singers picked out my music once again this morning. And I sure do appreciate the work that she does for the Lord in doing that. Well, our message for this morning is all of life is a learning experience. I thought it'd be good to talk about that because I think that when I think of my life, I've gone through a lot of different learning experiences. But I need to tell you, this being homebound for as long as we have been homebound and doing things so much differently than we've ever done before, I got to tell you, I want to make sure I learn something when we get through this that's going to be beneficial for whatever the rest of my life might be. And I trust and also that each one of us will learn something from this experience. Even if it's just the idea of quit looking at just ourselves and what we're going through and start thinking about others and what they're experiencing in their life. So we're going to talk about that learning experience that is should be coming from what we're going through and that all of life is a learning experience. I think I've said this from the time I was really quite young, is that you're never too old to learn. And I've been doing that, learning some things through this process that's been beneficial for me. Well, we need to get started with the message. I got a song I want that KN has picked out for us that I had to be honest, I had never heard it before, but I really like the song. It's the idea that this person is going through a lot of fight in his or her life. And what they're really trying to do is trying to figure out how they can get real with God. Because they realize that they've been kind of avoiding him they've been kind of, they're kind of living behind their masks, so to speak. Man, we see so many people with masks today. They're kind of living behind that mask, and it's a desire to get real with God. And I think that's a good thing for us, the desire to do. And that's what I'm hoping, that through this experience that we've been going through in our lifetime, that we've got real with God, we've got real with one another, and the Lord has something He wants to teach us. This song is called The Fight, so here we go.
How clever is my pride, how it deceives my mind, to think I'm in control when I've really lost it all. How brilliant is my greed for what it says I need. And then I've come to find I'm empty on the inside. Real, my heart is aching to be real, so I'm coming to you. All of my broken motives, all of my selfish dreams, all of my foolishness, now I understand where it leads. I wanna be in your love, I wanna be so much more. I know you're reaching out, so what am I fighting you for? So what am I fighting you for? How quick is my doubt to leave my heart without the presence of your peace, so that I scarce believe. Any kind of change. Real, my heart is aching to be real, so I'm coming to you. And all of my broken motives, all of my selfish dreams, all of my foolishness, now I understand where it leads. I wanna be in your love, I wanna be so much more.
Be real. That is something that is just a beautiful thought to get a hold of the first thing this morning. I love the way that song talks about that. It talks about the kind of life that I'm going through, and I know that I can be more than this. I know it's God's intent for me to be more than I am. So he's telling, and then it comes in that song and talking about reaching, he's reaching out to each one of us. And there's one statement in that song that gives us the idea that this songwriter is going to be running towards God now. That's what I kind of want to deal with this morning. This idea of all of life is a learning experience. and how we need to learn from the things that we go through in our everyday life. And some are bigger than others. And I just got to be honest with you, from my standpoint, this has been one of those bigger than others for my life, as we think about how long we've been doing what we've been doing and not in our normal routine. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but let's take a moment and get my voice straightened back up here a little bit, breathe in some air out of my mouth. And you know what we need to do is have a word of prayer and just ask the Lord once again to bless the listening audience. You're the ones I'm focused on, folks. Those of you that's tuned me in this morning, I want to tune into your life and whatever's going on with you as an individual. So just for a few moments, dear Father, once again I come to you in behalf of the listening audience. I thank you for every person that's got their radio tuned to my voice today. I ask that you would be pleased to bless them in a special way. Those that's listening by whatever means they're listening this morning, whatever they're hearing this message, I pray, Father, that you would take this message and you would use it for your honor and for your glory. But for the listening audience, Father, I want to pray those that are discouraged. There's a lot to discourage us today, that you would encourage them. Those, Father, that's kind of tired of the way things have been, kind of tired that they can't see some of their family members that they long to see, some of them even in nursing home, and husbands can't visit wives or wives can't visit husbands, children can't visit parents. It's a very difficult time that people are going through. And I just ask, oh, Father, you bless each of the listening audience in a special way. Father, sometimes this creates financial problems. So I pray not only for us as individuals, but for our nation, that you might lead and direct those in the places of authority to know what is best to do. I pray, Father, that it would be very easy for some places and some people to take advantage of all the situations that we find ourselves in. And I pray that we would not be doing that, that you would just so lead and direct. So, Father, just guide us today as we look into your word. Bless and meet each of our needs according to your will. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, are we learning anything? Is it true that all of life is a learning experience? And is it true that sometimes we learn from the difficult times lessons that we would never learn in any other way? One of the things that I've said for years, am I right? A day is not wasted when you learn something. And also the fact that, Kenneth, you're never too old to learn. Try this. See what you can do. You know, one of the things that I've got out of, that I'm having difficulty with in this homebound time, I'm finding it hard to maintain balance in my life with what I'm experiencing and what I'm supposed to be learning. Are you there? Do you feel what I'm saying to you this morning? Having a hard time figuring out what's the balance of what I'm experiencing in my life at this age, and what am I supposed to be learning? What is the purpose of all of this? What I'm experiencing and what I'm learning. Have you ever heard the thought to become things become a teaching moment? This is a thought that is a new thought in the last few years. Said this is a teaching moment. And sometimes we need to realize we're in a teaching moment today. I want to make sure this moment comes in such a way that I gain what I'm supposed to be learning. First part of the message today, I want to take three times when Jesus said, come. He's the teacher. We're the student. And he says to us, he wants us to come. The first is one of the calls that every one of us needs to hear. It's the call to come and follow God. It's the call to come and follow Jesus. I love the way it is recorded in the book of Matthew chapter 4. While walking on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets, and they followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. They were in a boat with their father, and they were mending their nets, getting ready for the next day of fishing. And he called them, "Follow me." And immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed the Lord Jesus. Have you had that kind of a moment in your life where you could sense God is saying to you, "Follow me, follow me"? I love the response of these four men. I love the realization that they knew that even though they didn't know, he didn't say what he was going to be doing. He didn't say how long they would be following him. He simply said, "Follow me. I want to be your leader. I want to be your instructor. I want to be your teacher." And they left an occupation that they were good at, and they left their nets, and they just followed Jesus. The other ones, the two other brothers, John and James, they even had to leave their father there in the boat. And they left their nets, and it says they followed him. And I like the way it's stated. They immediately followed him. You know what I've noticed in the life of myself, in the life of other people? Oftentimes we've heard God say to us, "Follow me." We've heard Jesus remind us that that's why he came, to be our leader. He wants to be your shepherd. He wants to be my shepherd. He's come to be our Savior. And many times we felt very strongly that he was saying to each one of us, "Follow me." And sometimes we put it off. And then the invitation comes again. It is an invitation, folks, for you and I to follow him. The invitation to follow Jesus, the teacher, and let him give some instructions into your life. He can use the abilities of fishing for fish to help you to become a fisher of men, is what he told the disciples. The moment is always left to your decision. God does not force himself on any one of us. I love it that they made a decision, and they made a decision quite quickly. They followed Jesus. This was not only a teaching moment, but a greater than that, it became a growing moment. This moment was going to change these men's lives forever. God was going to use them in the ministry to change other people's lives for the better, forever. God's word teaches us we are saved to serve. In Ephesians chapter 2, God has made us what we are. He has created us in Christ Jesus to live lives filled with good works that he has prepared for us to do. It would be sad to go through God's world without knowing God. That's why he's reminding us, "Follow me." The Lord Jesus may be saying that to you this morning. Come on, you know that you've been fighting this thing in your own life. Why don't you just turn your life over to the Lord Jesus? And being a Christian gives us privilege of being associated with the Lord Jesus Christ in an intimate way. These men were going to become close to Jesus. These men were going to become a big part of Jesus' life, and Jesus was going to become a big part of their life. That's what God is wanting us. That's what he wants from each one of us. So this is the way I kind of describe it to myself. Be humble, be teachable, and always keep learning. Let me do that again. Be humble, be teachable. Are you teachable this morning? And always keep learning. That's one of the things that I've loved about the Christian life. You know, I've studied the Bible a lot. I spent many hours searching through the Bible. I've done it now for ever since I was 18 years old. And I got to tell you, I sometimes is as green as a greenhorn. You just, every time I learn something, I find there's something else. Sometimes when I think I've learned all there is about that situation, I find something else. God's Word is the living Word. It's fresh every day as we get a hold of it. And all of our Christian life is to be a learning experience. And I believe that the person that we should learn from is the one that we're following, the Lord Jesus. We should look at his life. See how he dealt with people. See how he responded to people. That's what Jesus was going to do with these four men as they begin to follow him. Four of these are going to be his disciples. It begins with them responding to that call. Follow me. And the promise that Jesus said, I'll make you to become something more than you ever thought was possible. You know, when I first started following Jesus when I was about 17 and a half, I had no idea what he was going to do with my life. But I got to tell you, I'm so glad that that decision was made to follow him. And you know, as we follow the Lord Jesus, and some of you are in this point, you're at that point where you've responded to Jesus' call. You want as best you know how to live the Christian life. But we need another teaching moment. It isn't all just in the idea of following Jesus. Jesus uses this come again sometime later in the book of Matthew chapter 11. And this is what it says. Come to me, all of you who are tired from carrying heavy loads. I will give you rest. Take my yoke and put it on you, and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit. And you will find rest for you, for my yoke will give you is easy, and the load I'll put on you is light. You know what Jesus is promising? We can come to him just as we are. I love the way it reads in the Message. That's a paraphrase of the Bible. Listen to how it reads here. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Jesus says, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn from the unforceable rhythm of grace. I won't lay anything heavy on you or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. That's what God wants for us. We've made life so complex, and God is saying, come to me and bring all your luggage with you. I believe that's what he wants us to do. Come to him just as we are. And you know, when we acknowledge that we want to follow him, then sooner or later we begin learning. We have some luggage with us. That life is done to us. My luggage came from my growing up years, being raised by a stepdad that was mean to me and those kinds of things. But you know what? When I come to Jesus, there came a time when he was saying, now you got to bring all of your luggage. Sometimes it was disappointment in being raised as a big family. We never had much of anything. I come to find out that was a blessing in my life, but that isn't the way you look at it when you're about 17 or 15. We realize that life's a little different, and we've got some baggage with us. We start out following Jesus, and then we begin to grow in our relationship with Jesus, the teacher. It seems like we struggle. It seems so senseless to struggle alone when we have one like Jesus to follow. So then he says, come to me. All that stuff is tiring you out in your life. Come to me. Are you just about overloaded with what we've been going through these past few months? Come to me, Jesus is saying. Bring all your baggage with you. Bring all your luggage with you. Bring all your burdens. I will give you rest. Have you learned through this time that rest isn't something that just comes because we're not doing what we used to be doing. Sometimes not doing what we used to be doing tires us out. It becomes a heavy load. And you know, sometimes those things become heaviness on our lives. I love the way he explained it. Draw close to me, he says. And he says, this is the way I want you to do it. And in those days, they had animals they'd yoke up together to plow the fields and do that kind of stuff. A yoke would be where they would put one head of the animal in one part of that yoke, a piece of wood that went from across to each one of them. On the other side, they'd put another animal, and those animals would work side by side. You've seen a little yoke before. Jesus, in Jesus' day, a yoke was very common. And so what Jesus is asking us to do, he's asking us to come and yoke up with him. Be a part of his life. Let him be a part of our life. And let's do this together. I love it when he says, come walk with me. That's what they have to do. They have to walk in step with one another. Come and work with me. They have to pull together with one another. Because if one is stronger than the other, all of a sudden we find that If they're not doing their part, then all of a sudden that makes it heavier on their part. Jesus invites me and you to team up with him. Are you tired from carrying this heavy load? Are you worn out? Is the luggage too much for you to carry? He says, come on, team up with me. I love the way he describes himself, because we need this gentle and humble in spirit. And he gives this promise, you will find rest. I love the way it's described in the message. He said, you will find out the rhythm of grace. We'll be walking together. And you know what? Two walking together can accomplish so much more as you do the work together. This is not only a teaching moment, but greater than that, this becomes a growing moment. When you can realize that you don't have to carry the load all by yourself. When you can realize that Jesus is standing in the shadow and waiting for you to yoke up with him. I have found a picture of a little yoke that I use in my devotion. And it's the way they were made in those days. And on one side, it said, for the teacher. And the other side, for the student. But you know what, folks? Every single one of us has to decide for ourselves. Am I going to yoke up with Jesus? And I'm going to become a part of doing this work with him. I think that's another step that God wants us to grow in the growing process. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but maybe you're trying to do it all in your own effort. Can I tell you, it's hard enough to live the Christian life with the help of God, his word, and the Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. You can't live life, the Christian life, on your own. You need God's help. That's why he's inviting us to come and join him, to walk along every day with him, to realize as we're going through this pandemic that we're going through, as we're going through this homebound time, we're not doing it alone. That Jesus is there to be with us, and he's there to walk with us, and he wants us to know that that's a very special part. And you know what else he wants us to do? And I love it when I've been seeing that happening in all the news things and so on. Some of the news is very discouraging, I gotta say. But every now and then when somebody figures out a way to kind of make it easier for somebody else, somebody figures out a way to kind of be a help to somebody else, that excites me. Because that's God's intent for our life in the first place. God has already told us, I got a lot of good things I want you to do. I had them planned for your life that you would be doing some of these good things. And sometimes we make it so hard. So I want us to say, to listen to another come of Jesus. He's saying, come on, I want to show you something. He talked about come and follow him. And come and bring your burdens and team up with him and together you'll carry what the load is. But then he says, I want you to be productive. I want you to have some fruit in your life. You see, when somebody reaches out and helps somebody else, it just doesn't help the person they've been helping. it helps them because they're helping somebody. Do you get a hold of that? I don't know how many times I've reached out to be a blessing to someone else, and the blessing was for me. We need to know that's the way God works it. But he's so simple. Jesus took something that was common in his day, and he wants to liken it to something that you've all seen. He begins to teach us from where we are. But what he's going to teach us is some things that we may not know, that we may have seen and we've enjoyed seeing, but we really haven't learned the lesson. So this is what Jesus said in John 15. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. God's saying, I want you to be a fruitful for me. Now listen to how he says it. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered and gathered up and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will desire, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified. Now listen, this is how we glorify the Father, that you bear much fruit, so you can show that you're my disciple. God wants us to be fruitful children of his. I think it's important to realize that God says to us, this is in your world around you. I have my big maple trees, and I can see the main trunk, and I can see the branches. Out back behind my house, I have a grapevine. That's the one I like the best. I can see the main trunk of the vine, and then I can see the branches. And God is saying, that's what I want you to do with me. Not only yoke up with me, I want you to realize that we're connected to one another. And this connection is powerful. The last verse we heard today from the lips of Jesus was, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. God knows it's going to be beneficial for others, the fruit that you and I bear in our life, but God also knows it'll be beneficial for you. Have you ever grown a garden and found it so much fun to eat the first tomato? We had strawberry vines, couldn't wait for the first strawberry to ripen. You know, that's what we need to realize. It's a blessing not only to the others, but it's a blessing to ourselves. I believe God wants all of us to be fruitful, but he wants us to realize you can't do it on your own. The way to do it is stay connected to the branch. I mean, stay connected to the vine. You're just a branch. But you're connected to the vine, and that connection is what's going to make the difference. Unless you abide in me and I abide in you, you won't be able to produce fruit. Haven't you seen it when a branch gets broke off? I have some apple trees in the yard. I can watch those apple trees do the same thing. But sometimes in the wind and so on, a branch gets broke off. Can I tell you, it's got apples on it, but they don't ever grow anymore. Pretty soon, on that broken branch, they just wither and die. And you know what? That branch cannot grow apples after that. It's removed from the vine. It's removed from the main trunk. God is trying to teach us this is a oneness thing. Have you ever looked at it? When I go out and look at my grapevines, I see the main trunk, and then I see here's a branch coming off from the trunk. It just all goes right together. It creates oneness. The branches here, the main trunk of the tree or the vine is here, and it's connected. You know what happens with that? The flow of life that is in the main vine goes into the branch. And that life that goes into the branch causes us to produce fruit. Have you ever noticed the fruit is not on the main vine? The fruit is on the branches. God's saying, you're a branch, and I want you to be fruitful. And as long as you stay connected to me, this will really happen. He wants to do this for each one of us so we can realize that that's how this is going to be working in your life and my life. And that's one of the main lessons I think we should be learning from this homebound time, is we can't do this on our own. We need God's help. I got a song I want us to listen to, and I love this song. This song is one of my special songs that Jesus, about the Lord Jesus, and it's talking about the gentle healer came to town today. He came into our town to visit, and many things happened. Let's listen in.
Gentle healer came into our town today. He touched blind eyes and the darkness left to stay. But more than the blindness, he took their sins away. The gentle healer came into our town today. The gentle healer came into our town today. He spoke one word that was all he had to say, and the one who had died just rose up straight away. The gentle healer came into our town today. He seems like just an ordinary man, with dirty feet and rough but gentle hands. But the words he says are hard to understand. And yet he seems like just an ordinary man. Gentle healer, he left our town today. I just looked around and found he'd gone away. Some folks from town who follow him, they say the gentle healer. Gentle healer is the truth, the life, the way.
I love that idea. The gentle healer came to town today. And when I responded to him, the gentle healer changed everything that was a part of my life. That's what he wants to do. He told those disciples when he first called, I'll make you to become fishers of men. And God wants to make each one of us to become the person that he knows we can become. Have you ever thought of this? God knows your potential. He knows what you're able to do. And when he calls out to you, say, come follow me. And then he calls out to you, come, bring all of your heavy load that you're carrying. Let's work this together. Let's do this thing together. You find that my gentleness is going to help you. And then not only that, he says, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to get the blessing in your life whereby you're helping somebody else. And in the helping of somebody else, you're helping yourself. That's all been my life. That's been the blessing that we need. Now, why is he teaching us all of this? From the book of Philippians, I want to share a few verses in the rest of the time that I have left that I believe is some of the reasons he's saying to us that he wants us to have this connection to him. And he wants us to remain connected to him. And he wants us to make sure that we are abiding in him. You see, Jesus in you and you in Jesus. That's security. That's the connection he wants to have in your life and my life. One of the reasons I believe he wants us to have this is he knows there's going to be things in your life and my life where we need to stand, where we realize this is going to be tough. I like what he did in the book of Philippians, Paul speaking to the church there at Philippi. So, brothers and sisters, I love you and I miss you. Haven't we been saying that a lot lately? I love you and I miss you. I love you and I miss you. You are my joy. You are my crown, he says. Therefore, dear friends, keep your relationship with the Lord firm. You've got to be able to stand. Encourage both these two ladies that got into an attitude of disobedience to one another. Tell them to have the attitude that Jesus has. I ask you, my two partners, to help these women. They fought beside me to spread the good news along with Clement, another person. They were my co-workers, and their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I want you to know there came some confusion. You see, there's going to be times of confusion. None of us are above conflict. Whatever you do, don't let those that have wronged you control you the rest of your life. We need a sure footing for our life. We need to have behaviors and attitudes that's after this one that we're connected to. We're getting to respond the way Jesus would respond. Many years ago, there was a bracelet they always wore. What would Jesus do? I think we've got away from some of that. When our children were growing up, Bev and I disciplined our children in the way that we decided to discipline them, just as much for a bad attitude as for a bad behavior. You see, those bad attitudes can get us into trouble, and these women had some bad attitudes towards one another. And Paul says, you need to deal, you need to help them to deal with that so that doesn't control them. This situation is getting out of hand. And sometimes we see there's some bad attitudes happening as a result of saying, should we be going back together now? Should we be trying to be working on the economy rather than staying at home and all this kind of stuff? And it creates bad attitudes. I came across this story. One day a father took his son and one of his son's friends on a fishing trip. They got to the campsite and everything was just perfect. The weather was warm, but not hot. The lake was calm. They had a level campsite. They raised their tent and cooked their dinner and went to bed, anticipating several days of great fishing. When they woke the next morning, they discovered that a cold front had come through during the night. It was not in the low 40s. Now it was cold, and the wind was blowing. They stayed in their tent most of the day and occupied themselves by telling stories and playing a lot of silly games with one another to make the best of a bad situation. They went to bed that night hoping that things would be better the next day. The next day it was more of the same. Only now it began to rain. Once again they tried to wait it out and occupy themselves in the tent. By the end of the day, everyone was on edge, and everyone was angry at one another. They decided to pack up and to head home. They discovered that when fishermen don't fish, they fight. Isn't that true? After you've been homebound for a while, you got to be careful. In the one you're homebound with, you got to be cautious. I came across this point to ponder. Disagreements cause stress and robs us of joy. Most disagreements that don't involve any teachings about sin and so on, they result in selfishness. Isn't that true? Woe is me. I got it worse than anybody else. Dear people, God wants us to be able to stand during these difficulties that we find ourselves in. I just want to share one more thought along that line. I think I got enough time to do at least one. We need to learn to think. You know, what we occupy our mind with is important. In the book of Philippians, he says it this way to the church there at Philippi. Never worry about anything. Well, that's quite a challenge. Never worry about everything. But in every situation, let God know what you need in prayer and request with giving thanks. I love the way he says that. You know what? Whatever you need, pray to God about it. But I love what he added. Give thanks. You know, no matter how bad it gets in your life and my life, we realize we got a lot to be thankful for. We got a lot to be grateful for. Then God's peace, which goes beyond anything we can imagine, it will guard your thoughts and your emotions through Christ Jesus. And sometimes we need someone like Jesus to guard our thoughts and our emotions to make sure that we're not getting out of hand. Finally, brothers and sisters, keep your thoughts on whatever is right or deserves praise, things that are true, honorable, fair, pure, acceptable, commendable. Practice what you've learned and received from me, what you've heard and saw me do. Then the God who gives his peace will be with you. God is saying, you know what? I want you to understand that I'm with you. And I want you to understand that my relationship with you, you're connected to me. I'm connected to you. You've unloaded your load upon me. We're working on this together. We're working on this pandemic together. We need to know that God is saying, I want to help you with your thoughts, especially when your thoughts start getting out of control. I want to lead you and direct you with those thoughts. Worry, someone said, is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Let me do that again. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And we need to know that that's exactly the way it is. God is trying to help us to realize that he wants us to understand his blessing upon our life and the things that he's come to do. You know, that attitude maybe needs to be changed in our hearts and lives. A lady one day was walking down the street to work, and she saw a parrot in a pet shop. She stopped to admire the bird. The parrot said to her, "Hey, lady, you're really ugly." Well, the lady was furious. She stormed past the store to her workplace, and the same way she saw on the way home, she saw the parrot again in the window. And the parrot, upon seeing her, he says, "Hey, lady, you're really ugly." Well, she was incredibly upset. She went to the store manager, and they agreed if the parrot doesn't stop talking like that, he would kill the parrot. The next day, when the lady walked past the store after work, she saw the parrot. And the parrot said to the lady, "Hey, lady." She paused and said, "Yes." The bird said, you know, you're ugly. God isn't saying that to us. He's telling us you're beautiful because of your relationship to me, and I want you to know that, and it's something that is very special and very important for you to grab a hold of. The last thought I want to share with you before we listen to a song that I got a nice song to close our service with, it's an idea that we need to be contented. Can I say this from my heart to yours? And I'm not stretching it a bit. Sometimes it's hard to be contented in the situation we find ourselves in. The Lord has filled me with joy because, again, you show interest in me. You were interested, but you didn't have the opportunity to help. I'm not saying this because I am in need. Now listen to what Paul said he learned. And this is what I think we need to learn. I've learned to be content in whatever situation I am. I know how to live in poverty, and I know how to live in prosperity. Do you know that? I've learned the secret of how to live when I am full and I've learned the secret to how to live when I'm hungry, when I have too much, and when I have so little. And here's the answer to it all, folks. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. I can do all things. Time for me to go, so we got to listen to this song. And this song is a very special song, and I'm hoping to get it started right here. Here we go. And it's a song, no wonder they call it The Amazing Grace. God's blessing upon you. Thank you for letting me share with you. And thank you for joining with me. And I trust God's richest blessing to be upon you in this week to come. Bye-bye. So dear.